Triple M's Big Breakfast for Team Moto and their biggest ever bike sale. Yamaha, Honda, Kawasaki, Suzuki and heaps more. Slash by up to $7,000. Check out teammoto.com.au.
Hello, welcome to the catch up. Thank you for streaming and make sure you do subscribe. The quality of the show as we hurtle towards the holidays is dipping greatly.
Oh, speak for yourself.
Today we're looking for the great horse statues of Brisbane.
I know, because I was contributing to such a thing. I gave away my massive rocking horse that could actually fit 5 people in its saddle.
Wonderful.
To the Pines Community School, yeah. And that sparked a conversation.
I saw an opportunity to talk about horse statues, which I've always wanted to on radio, and it was a complete success, the whole thing. People are mad for horse statues.
Actually was pretty cool. Street Talk Moon?
I hit the streets of Slacks Creek to speak to celebrities about what the burning issue was in Brisbane this week.
You were such a little fanboy today with Mick Fanning on the show.
I know, I apologise. It was one of the highlights. I love Mick Fanning.
Except, hang on, did you realise he invited you to come down and be a part of his whole, you know?
No, you guys said, I'll buy all the tickets in the raffle so I'll win
and
it.
He said, why don't you come down anyway?
I
you
didn't
missed
hear that,
that
bit.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, you're too in love. That's
did I ever tell you about the day that we were at down the coast and Hilly, I was with Hillary and she saw him. She was about 10. She'll love me saying this. She ran 300 metres just to touch him.
Oh. Who hasn't?
Father like daughter.
Yes, indeed.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Okay, something really cool happened yesterday afternoon and people of Brisbane may have seen the result of it. So back in 2011, there was a production for the Queensland Theatre Company of a play called Elizabeth. And the set designers on that particular production made this rocking horse that was bigger than, like, it's 2 metres plus high. And
a rocking horse.
A rocking horse. And it was on roller wheels and it rocked.
Now, you've got a bit of a fetish for horses, haven't you?
Yeah. So
you're a bit of a collector.
I collect rocking horses. So in our infinite
rocking
wisdom,
horses.
In 2011, we bought it off eBay, basically, because no one else wanted it.
Oh.
Massive thing. Like,
they needed to get out of their storerooms.
They needed to get rid of it. And it was handmade, and it was made with plywood, and it was lovely.
Just tell me, I don't understand the wheels. So, like a rocking, I understand the rocking bit. It's got a curved piece of timber.
No, so it's got 4 big wheels, so you can move it around, and it got moved around the stage.
Like casters.
And then it was on I don't know the technical terms, but it was on something that made it, you could go backwards and forwards. Like it wasn't a round thing.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, and if you sat on it, and I could get my entire family on the top of this horse.
Okay.
So massive rocking horse.
Massive, massive.
So more
huge.
Oscillating along the one plane
That's
rather
it.
Than rocking.
That's yeah, exactly gotcha. Right. Okay, you with me?
Gotcha.
So in our old house, it used to live in the lounge room, and the boys and I would get up on it and watch TV.
Weirdo.
Wow. I know, it was fun.
Weirdo
it was just silly.
Alert.
Okay, weirdo
get
alert.
Your
yeah,
whole
yeah, yeah.
family. Onto a rocking horse to watch TV.
Yeah,
did
like
it have a saddle?
Yeah, no, but it was this really big, broad piece of wood. Anyway, moved house and the horse didn't fit anywhere and couldn't actually even get it into the house. So it lived in my garage. And finally, because it couldn't go outside, we thought about making it an outside kind of piece, but the wood wouldn't have coped with it. Yeah. And it was just too big. And so about 6 months ago, Sean said to me, why don't we see if we can give this away to somewhere that would appreciate it? So we rang the Riding for Disabled place out at Bellbarry.
Oh, they're good.
Yeah, they're great. They do amazing stuff.
Don't they want to ride real horses?
No, they do want to ride real horses. And it was just because it was so big and it's quite difficult to get up on, it wasn't really appropriate for them and they didn't have the space for it.
Good place to wait while you were waiting for your horse to come in for a
ride. Yeah, you could just get up and have a little ride.
Practice ride.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So anyway, they then suggested that there was they then suggested that there was a school in Arana Hills called the Pine Community School.
Yeah.
And that we contacted them and they said that they would love it. So yesterday afternoon, a lovely man arrived with a trailer and we placed the horse on the back of the trailer and it drove from Fig Tree Pocket to Arana Hills and now these kids are going to be able to play on this horse.
Oh, that's lovely,
forevermore.
Robin.
Excellent. So it would have gone across the Western
Freeway
through Barden, through all the western suburbs there, Ashgrove, Vinogra,
so
and
potentially,
to Arana Hills.
People would have seen this ridiculously large wooden horse cruising around Brisbane.
That's so nice. Now,
I love it.
People do look at horses, and I've been waiting some time to just, can I just tail onto the end of this?
Of course you can.
Horses are one of my real passions. Sculpted horses and
sculpted
horses that aren't alive.
Right.
I love. Can we just run this? And if nobody rings, I'll really understand. But I love Horses of Brisbane. Can you think there's one at Grant's Saddlery at Aspley and Annerley? They've got statues of horses.
Yes.
Can I get anyone to ring up? We need to know where all the horses, statue horses in Brisbane are.
Isn't there one in Milton, the paint? There's
the paint shop in Castle Main Street.
There we
go. That is correct. Out of Black Soil as you're heading towards Toowoomba. On the right-hand side, there's a junkyard there. There's a horse out the front of that joint.
Can I throw a horse in? Is it St. George Square?
King George Square.
King George Square.
Yeah, there's a horse there. You can see right up its jacksy too.
Right.
Fairly elevated.
Just so I'm clear, you want great horse statues of Brisbane on 14353.
Yes!
That's right.
Wayne of Sandgate. Where is the great horses of Brisbane? What have you seen?
The Sandgate paint. He's been there for about 20-odd years.
Mm. Is he a wattle horse?
He's a wattle horse, Chester.
Yeah, is that a white one?
It is the white one, the original one.
I know.
That's right. Waddle Estepol, it's so tough. You get, ride a horse on it.
Was that their slogan, was it?
Yeah,
is that why this occurs?
Because Chester was stamping on the patio, and of course, the paint wasn't chipping.
Cracking. Well, that's the same horse. Chester's also at the Milton paint place.
Castle Main Street.
Wayne, does it make horses make you turn your head? Like you go, what is that? Oh, it's a paint shop.
Yes, we have people come from all over. Their kids come in, they want photos with him, grandkids,
Fair enough.
Surprise me.
That's lovely. Okay, thanks, Wayne.
They really need to get a life, those people.
Julie, as opposed to you. Julie of Daybrook, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good. Have you found a horse, a great statue of a horse?
You know what? I can double that. I know where there's two.
Oh, God. Hold on. I'm writing them down.
You are. Get into it, Marto. They are one's in Samford. As you're coming out of Samford and going up the hill, if you want to go up and over and into Fernie Grove, on the left-hand side, just randomly standing in a paddock.
Is a fake horse.
A very similar one on a road called Rainbird Road out of the back of Narangba, again, just randomly standing in a paddock. These things are kind of on a lean, and they look like they've just been picked up out of the snow or something, and they've been frozen.
What are they made out of, do you think?
Have no idea, because I think I'd get done for trespassing if I kind of went into these people's properties and started knocking on their horse, so... Yeah.
And you're sure they're not actual horses?
Yeah.
Well, this is debatable, I think. But no, I'm pretty sure, seeing they've been standing in the same position for years, I think they think they're pretty much not real.
So the place, the one at Samford, as you go up the hill, there's a dam on that. Is it that property there? It's got the dam on it.
Yeah, there's a dam and 1,000 geese or whatever you call
it. And a statue horse. Oh, because I'm always driving. I'm going to have a look.
Oh, thanks, Julie.
Made me day, Jules.
Thanks, Jules.
That made your day.
Yeah.
Well, it's only early.
So. Well, I thought I knew where every statue in of horses was.
Right.
Okay, Mick of Eagleby, have you found us a fake horse?
Yeah, there's a big white one down at Narang. I know it's not Brisbane, but it's just outside.
Oh, no, that's
good. Oh, that's okay. So
Satterley shop.
We'll accept
it's on the Satterley shop, just on the service road off the highway.
And Mick, you drive along and you go, is that a horse? No, it's a statue. Is that what grabs your eye?
Oh, no, I just used to live near it. I used to pass it every day on the way to work.
Say hi, fella.
Did you ever hop on it?
Hey?
Did you ever see anyone hop on it?
No, it sits up in the sky about 6-7 metres on a big pole.
Up in the sky.
All right.
Okay. Horses in the sky. Air. Horses like you said.
That's right.
Way up in the sky, little dog.
How'd you do that?
Magic.
He's in town on Sunday for
Down
Day on the Green.
Says, yay, yeah.
What, this Sunday?
Yeah.
Daryl?
Yeah, Daryl and John Farnham.
And that was the Great Horse Statues of Brisbane.
Okay.
On Brisbane's Triple M.
We know a lot more than we knew before.
You know, every week I pop out onto the streets of Brisbane and find out what's happening out there. What's the heartbeat of Brisbane? What are people caring about?
Street Talk with the Moon Man.
Hi, this is the Moon Man, and I'm hitting the streets of Brisbane to find out which issue in this great city has mattered most to you this week. Today, I find myself in the light industrial area of Slacks Creek. Wow, there's Rusty Crow. Ah, yeah, Russ, have you got a minute? What issue mattered to you most this week? Well, for the fifth week in a row, it's Wayne Bennett. And whether the Broncos will pay him out, or will I have to fork out for him with my own hard-earned coin? Will he be at the Rabbitohs at the beginning of 2019, or will I be coaching the Rabbitohs? And I could, because of a... I'm a natural leader of men. My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius. Rusty, please don't. Commander of the armies of the North, General of Felix Legion, loyal servant to the true Emperor Marcus Aurelius. Please don't, Rust. Just don't. Father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife, and I will have my revenge in this life or the next. Oh, Rusty, you haven't, you reptile. I'm an actor.
I make my living in moving images, playing in refracted light, not chasing some grumpy septuagenarian around to make sure he's got enough money to pay for an acrimonious fucking divorce, for fuck's sake. Wow, you're pretty fired up there, Russ. Yeah, sorry, can I get a light? Yeah, come to where the flavour is. Thanks a lot for that, Russ. And there's Shane Bourne, the former host of Dancing with the Stars. Bourne, what's your hot issue this week? Well, the country seems to be on climate change crack. Floods and tropical storms down south and firestorms sweeping central Queensland. It's crazy, absolutely crazy stuff. But I want to say to the Rural Fire Service, thank God you're here. Rural Fire Service, to a man and a woman, you are sensational. You are smoking. You are on fire. Well, you know, not literally, but sensational stuff. Good on you, Bourne. And there's Matthias Cormann. Finally, Matthias, what's Brisbane's issue of the week?
Well, as you know, Moonman, the Liberal Party have had a difficult week with Julia Banks defecting and Cully O'Dwyer saying we are sexist, homophobic and flat earth climate change deniers. So I like to put all that behind me on the weekend, and sport is my escape. I'm going to Suncorp to see Choc take on the Hornet. And this is for you, Moonman. The last time this joke will ever be heard on Triple M. Tonight, for one night only, Mundine Cop's horn in the ring.
Well, that's it from me. Back to you guys.
Everyone, stop what they're doing, because are about to talk to three-time world surfing champion and co-owner of the best beer in Australia, the Bolter. Mick Fanning, hello, mate.
Morning, guys. How you going?
Can you confirm the name Bolter is... Can you tell everyone what it means?
Oh, it's an old English word. It means to dance artlessly with little or no skill, but usually with enjoyment.
It's the best ever.
And that's what your beer does to people.
That's why our surfers all dance.
Exactly.
He's a well bolter. Now, Mick, you have joined the fight for MND, that is motor neurone disease. Tell us how you became involved in the fight against MND. That's what we're talking about this morning.
Yeah, look, it was probably a few years ago now. I got introduced with Dr. Ian Davis, who sadly passed away just a few weeks ago, and sort of got to know a bit more about the disease and became friends with Ian. And then, did a couple of functions down in Melbourne with Neil Denner and just struck a chord with me. It was, just to see the families going through it and the people that are going through MND. And it was just a really, really, really horrible disease. And, it just sucks that they can't find a cure they just keep fighting. Just each and every day these people keep fighting just to stay alive.
But, Mick, you're doing something. You're not just talking about it. You're offering up your services. Tell everyone what they can do to hang out with you.
Yeah, we're running a bit of a fun raffle at the moment. $20 will get you. We're going to go down and surf in the newest Australian wave pool down in Melbourne, Urban Surf, and then
is there one in Melbourne?
Yeah, it's opening soon, actually. So they're first.
Yeah.
And so I'll take you surfing there. If you can't surf, that's fine. I'll teach you how. If you don't get up, I'll give you your money back. and then from there, I'll take you down to Pearls Beach and show you around the Rip Curl Pro down there. Take you all behind the scenes stuff. And then hopefully, if time permits, grab a footy game in Melbourne after that.
Oh, that's extraordinary.
What an awesome weekend.
Yeah, it could be real fun.
Hey, Mick, have you been to...
A few bolters in too.
Yeah. Hey, mate, have you been to Kelly Slater's surf ranch? You have, haven't
I
you?
I have, yes.
What do you think of all these artificial pools? How do you rate them?
It's exciting. I sort of look at it as a bit of a space race, actually. There's so many different ones going up. And, it's awesome for the evolution of the sport. There's kids that will grow up on these things, maybe in places like Texas or, from landlocked places and actually become really, really good. It's exciting.
And Mick, as a father of a surfer, and there's been lots of mums and dads listening, and with all the sharks around, and you're an expert, do the surf bracelets deter sharks? Do those things work? Would you recommend them?
I can't really say yes or no. I've never worn one. For me, if I'm wearing one, it sort of attracts them because I'm thinking about them.
Well, that's the great thing about going to a surf park too.
Oh, yeah.
No, no sharks.
You don't have to punch a shark.
No, you might have to fight a koi or something.
Yes, indeed. To hang out with Mick Fanning for a day, to be in the chance for it, fightmnd.com. Tickets are $20. Just get prepared to spend the day with Marto, Mick, because he's going to buy a thousand tickets.
I love you, Mick.
Fair dinkum.
Just come down. We'd love to have you.
I went to Bell's this year to see you surf on that Saturday morning, mate.
Awesome. Cheers.
With about 10,000 other people.
Mick Fanning, always a pleasure. We'll catch up soon, brother.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one. Take care.
Big Cheers, Mick. Triple M.
If you are one of those rural fire brigades around Brisbane, we just want to see what motivates you and who the people are that are involved, because we were sitting around talking about it just then, going, where do they come from? Who are these people? So if you're out at Sanford, there'd be plenty down around Tambourine and Logan, I suppose.
Yeah, out towards Toowoomba.
133 53. Give us a yell if you're one of those heroes that are involved with the Rural Fire Service, because they're extraordinary.
Because I was thinking too that, you know, how they said that in New South Wales they were sending up like professional fireys, but until that point there were other people who were at the heart of the blaze. Just doing, I mean, obviously they're trained, they must be, but, you know, they were the ones that were keeping the fire at bay as best they could until the other fireys came up. I mean,
and the
amazing.
Moment the fire starts, Robin, they appear in legion. You know, the call goes out and there's not a moment wasted.
But who are they? Are they plumbers? Are they, you know, accountants? They come from everywhere. Can I just, one thing about these Queensland fires that I found interesting, towns and little places that I've never heard of before. What about this one from last night? There was one of the reporters there.
Well, Paris Martin joins us now from the Winfield Rural Fire Brigade.
The Winfield?
There's a town called Winfield. I wonder
if the brand was actually called after them.
Surely
after
not.
That town.
Or do they grow tobacco around? I don't know. It just seems funny that we've worked something out.
Well, Jason, you asked for people to call on 133 53. Jason, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
You one of these heroes?
Well, mate, I'm a permanent full-time fiery, and I worked all day yesterday with these rural guys, and absolutely amazing.
Righto. Where do you mean, where were you, at Stratty or up the coast, down the coast?
No, I was up at Wormuran most of the day yesterday.
Okay, so around all the strawberry farms, there's big fires. Who are they? Where do they come from, Jace, these people who volunteer?
Look, a lot of these ladies and gentlemen have their own businesses or work for, you know, their own, or just have normal jobs. And they take the time out to come out and do this. And honestly, mate, they've got a tank of gas as full as anything. They just, you can't stop them. They just keep going and going.
And was that what amazed you, Jason, their ability to, you know, commit and their stamina, or was it their skills as a fire person, talking as a professional fireman?
Well, as a professional, mate, like their skill sets, I learned something yesterday. Just the way they go about it, their, you know, dedication towards, obviously, upskilling is just, you know, fire whisperers, we can call them, I suppose.
Well, because they understand. Right. Do they train once a week at the local brigade?
They do. They get together, I think it's weekly, but, yeah, they all get together, again, taking time out of their own sort of family lives. But, mate, hats off to them. That amazing job. I had full respect after, always had full respect, but after yesterday, just, again, highlighted that fact. So.
And their local knowledge would be imperative too, wouldn't it?
Oh, most definitely. They know where the houses are situated in the dense bushland. It's their local knowledge, like you say, is imperative, and we can't do without it. So,
Jace, just give us your personal viewpoint. I know our Premier's been going worst in history. What's the what's your viewpoint?
Look, over the years, we have had the bad ones, the Bribie Island fires, and but the severity of this one, especially up sort of Gracemere and things like that, it's bad. You know, we've been waiting for a long time for this to sort of occur, and we've tried to, you know, put things in place to make sure that the severity does sort of lessen. But, we always knew it was sort of coming. And
Jace, again, could I tap into your professionalism? Moon's made a claim, and I haven't Googled it or anything, but he claims that some places these firestorms are 6,000 degree and everything just disintegrates in their path.
Evaporates.
Is that correct?
Oh, look, the heat is absolutely intense. And, I mean, even to the Wormuran wasn't small by any means, but just being sort of close to that, it's just, the heat is just unbelievable. And, we've seen just over the years houses just sort of combust with just, you know, radiated heat. So that's, again, we always pass that message out. Make sure your properties are, you know, kept clean and or your guttering, and it does make a big difference.
Well, the fire services, yes, Moon?
dressed in heavy clothes too, isn't it, Jason? A lot of people go at these.
And the fatigue management, again, they don't stop. They work all day. You've got to literally pull them off the fire ground to give them a break.
Yep.
And you're zapped in, hours of just fighting these fires.
Fire service is doing a wonderful job
in
up
all
there.
Of you, mate.
And the volunteer's very selfless as well. Thank you so much, Jason.
No worries. Pleasure.
12 hours till the River City Rumble gets underway.
Oh.
Now, we've been serious. We've been promoting it, and we've, it's on Fox.
Yeah, because I like Jeff Horn. I really like his wife, Jo, too. I was going to say better.
Did he go a bit early? For a bloke who's got $1 million in the bank, did he go a bit early?
What do you mean?
Okay.
No.
No, it's love.
Stop it. They
childhood
met in school.
Sweetheart.
Yes.
Childhood
sweetheart. No, you didn't go too early. He's in love with his wife.
I've got to tell you the honest truth. This thing has degraded into like a wrestling, professional wrestling. There's
yeah,
a lot
fun.
Of nonsense. Yeah, really?
Yeah, my boys watch professional.
Well, do you like the nonsense that was coming out, like mundane pretending? Did you see the weigh-in yesterday?
Yeah.
All right, for anyone who didn't, so this blew up. So they're having their weigh-in. Apparently Jeff Horn reached in really closely. I thought he was going to kiss him on the ear, but they're both no shirt on, just done the weigh-in. Apparently he said, bring it on, something like that.
Jeff Horn did.
And that's when Mundine launched at him, and then they wanted an explanation on, well, what happened there, Chock?
Chock.
Get him tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah, hold on, that's when they were scuffling.
It's an absolute melee.
Okay,
it's a pie fight.
Call me, a cynic.
Yeah.
But don't you reckon behind the scenes before they worked out, they went, hey, mate, I'll say this and you say that.
Professional wrestling. There was a whiteboard and they had a sequence of events.
And I'll do this with your head and then you can say that.
But that's been happening for time immemorium. I mean, back to Mike Tyson flipping chairs and tables.
Yeah, but they wanted to kill each other. Those people in those days with Tyson, those people wanted to kill each other. I can't, there's no hate. They had to build up the hate yesterday, I reckon.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Muhammad Ali was always, trash talking people and doing that big over the top stuff, I'm going to do you. I'm going to do you.
I sting like a butterfly.
It doesn't seem to be
like
genuine.
Sting like a butterfly.
It's a school teacher finding a 43-year-old Muslim bloke. That's what we got ourselves here. There doesn't seem to be genuine hate about between them. It's all made
up. Well, they're both
up.
Just super happy they're being paid a lot of money.
That's exactly right. Listen to Mundine, because this is when the guy with the microphone said, oh, what was that all about? That melee we just saw. Is this nonsense or not?
Man, I'm just fired up, man. I didn't mean no harm for that. I'm just ready to go, man. Like, I'm like a caged lion right now. I'm just ready to eat him, man, and just ready to go. They changed the time. Normal time supposed to be 6 o'clock weigh-in. They changed it to 2 o'clock, and then now 1 o'clock. So it's harder for me to wait tomorrow. They're trying everything in their power to make me undernourished or whatever.
Man, he looked really scrawny.
He looked too good.
He looked too thin.
Yeah.
He did. He looked like he was really hungry and therefore delirious.
Yeah, he's going to run out of steam very quickly.
He's going to have his backside served to him on a plate by the horn.
Hasn't he been training with chickens, though?
Okay. Oh,
no, he was with emus.
He was emus.
Horn
was
with chickens.
Okay.
How much meat can you get off an emu?
Yeah, so I tell you what,
unconfirmed whether he got it.
Mundine couldn't catch a chicken at KFC at the moment.
He's got it.
Oh.
Okay, so yesterday there was the news that an 18-year-old Sydneysider down at Schoolies for the interstate Schoolies excursions had died because he'd fallen off a balcony from an 11-storey window. His name was Hamish. And it turns out it's so sad and it's awful awful for Schoolies.
Imagine those parents, they're coming up from Sydney to identify and all the rest of that.
It's just disgraceful. Anyway, when I saw the story come through and it came up on my phone, I actually sent it to my kids because I didn't particularly understand what NANGs were.
Right.
And I got a bit of an education in this nitrous oxide because what they're suggesting is that this kid may have been using that. And so as my understanding, and if anyone has any more of an idea, then please contribute.
A lot of people in the dark what you're talking about at this stage.
Okay. So
a NANG is a bulb. Go on, sorry.
What are they used for?
It's the propellant that they use in soda water and cream.
Oh, right. A little metallic like a bullet.
Yes, right.
Bigger.
Yeah.
Canister.
And you can buy them, as I discovered from my children yesterday when I was going, what is this thing? Because let's face it, every single generation has stuff that they experiment with that is sadly a rite of passage for teenagers as they go through. It's not just drugs and alcohol, but there's usually kind of trends of things that are going on. And these Nangs are the thing because they are completely legal. And according to one of my kids, you can buy them at 7-Elevens in packets and they're cheap.
It's nitrous oxide, correct?
Yes.
Nitrous oxide...
What does it do?
Traditionally, the laughing gas that you get, you know, during childbirth, they used to use it too.
It's hanging off the wall in the labour suites at hospitals, and I put it on while my kids were being...
But that's kind of diluted, I think, with other things so that it just kind of gives a continuous, so it takes the edge off the pain. What this is, and again, I'm no expert and I'm only kind of learning it now, but it's like a 5 or 10 second buzz, but you can extend it if you use a balloon so that you kind of can suck this stuff in. I don't know, but
your kids seem to know a lot about it.
Well, I think every kid knows a lot about it.
Okay.
Like it's something that is going around a lot. And because it's legal and they can buy it themselves as opposed to alcohol or drugs, which
are much harder to get. Well, clearly
we'll
need to tax this so they can't afford it.
Yeah, well,
that'll be our government response, won't it?
And it's cheap too, apparently.
Well, not when they get hold of it, it won't be.
But look what happens. So if this is what has happened to this kid, he's, you know, something's gone on in his brain and he's fallen off a balcony. But I just wonder that a lot of parents may not realise that if they see these canisters, that that's actually potentially, you know, if you're looking behind your couch or your kid's got them in their room.
Kids will have a go at anything. Yeah. Glue sniffing, petrol sniffing
all
and this sort of stuff.
All of that stuff in the past.
We used to have them around when I was a teenager. We used to have a very different purpose for the Nang. What you would do is you'd put one on the ground and you'd drop a brick on it, and if it has a small puncture in it, it would fire off like a bullet and hopefully hit one of your mates.
Really?
That's how we used to use them.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Just good, clean fun, you know?
Yeah, that's right. You know, more dangerously, like, you know, you get a head injury or take an eye out, but not inhaling the stuff. For goodness sake.
That's what it is. So if your kids have canisters around.
When you injured your friends for fun.
something to be wary of. It's a big breakfast on Triple M.